We'd like to
Welcome Talk Radio.
We'd like to welcome you to Missing Pages of History. That's right, we are Missing Pages of History. As always, it is an honor and a pleasure to enter to your homes in the evening, where we can speak truth to power and serve as a vehicle for those underserved communities. And this is what we're going to do. We're going to talk about those underserved communities, their contribution to humanity, and make sure we fill in those missing pages of history. Today, what we're going to talk about, we're going to talk a little bit about Black Facts, as well as, more importantly, we're going to continue our discussion on the history and role of the criminal justice system, particularly the role of the history of the police. We will shortly have on us one of our contributors and analysts, Emmanuel, who will be coming forward shortly and sharing his presentation. And later on, as always, we'd like for you to call in at 818-337-0016. That's 818-337-0016. What we would like to do right now, we'd like to have a little house cleaning. We'd like to share with our audience. We are very honored to have, to be able to make this announcement. We'd like to allow our listening audience to know that we are now, or we have now, launched our website. The Missing Pages of History has launched its website today. We are asking for our friends and supporters to go to www.mphinc.org and check out our website. We'd like to invite our supporters, invite those who like to join us, members, or to become members of MPH. You can do all of those things and more by going to our website. And right now, I believe we have with us Emmanuel, our contributor analyst, who will be sharing some Black Facts with us right now. So right now, Emmanuel, we'd like to welcome you to Missing Pages of History. Welcome, Emmanuel.
Thank you kindly. Thank you kindly.
Emmanuel, one of the things, you know, we want to do at the beginning of the segment is, Missing Pages of History has just launched its official website, and we're letting our audience know today they can go to www.mphinc.org and can see the encompasses of all the things that make up Missing Pages of History. More importantly, they can, we can use this as a communication tool to help make our communities better and to allow us the capacity to now begin to recruit and serve our members. So for those who like to be members of MPH, we welcome you to come and join us. You can register by our website. Also, we'd like to inform you that from July the 17th to August the 17th, presently we have an ongoing cap and T-shirt drive. We are asking all our friends and supporters to join us, support us. This is a cap and T-shirt drive. Please order at least one pair, a T-shirt and cap. And not only as a fundraiser, but also as a supporter of MPH, because we're going to be coming to your community doing very positive things. So this is going on now. You can get all this information on our website, which is www.mphinc.org. Emmanuel, anything you'd like to say to our listening audience about our website and join Missing Pages of History before we go into our first segment of Black Facts?
Yes, please respond to our web page. Look at everything. Of course, look at the one that we're recruiting also for members for Missing Pages of History. Also, donations to keep us on the air. And of course, we'll be going on our television station starting September the 16th. So please support us as much as possible. Please respond to our webpage. And again, we're recruiting. We're recruiting. So please help us so we can stay on the air and give you facts about the United States of America and its politics. And also, we're going to talk a lot about the way that politics are generated and who is involved, why this country needs to be a little bit more alert to what's going on. and our job is to explain it to you in detail and in facts. And what Missing Pages of History is all about, it's about facts. And the traceable facts. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Our first subject for tonight is on black facts. What do we have? What do you have our listening audience today as is sitting around black facts?
Excuse me there. We don't do tremendous facts on medicine and education. Some of you are familiar with this, of course. Some are not familiar with our George Washington Carver, Dr. George Washington Carver, a black scientist. April 10th, 1941. Dr. George Washington Carver, a black scientist at Tuskegee University, gave the John Andrew Clinical Society a new drug to treat gum disease. George Washington Carver. In 1971, listen closely to this one, was revealed that for more than 40 years, black men were used as guinea pigs in a federal government-sponsored syphilis experiment at Tuskegee University. Also, in 1900, early part of 1900, under separate but equal policy, South Carolina's Department of Education was allocating $9 for a black child's education and $54 for a white child's education. This is South Carolina. Not the only state that did, but this is a fact. This is why we are where we are today. One of the big reasons why the allocation of funds for education. You can $9 for a black child's education, $54 for a white child. That was the early 1900s. But just to show you that where education is today, and this is being fulfilled on the same percentage basis, basically 6 times 9 is 54. So if your child is getting $100 in a black bank, the education facility, to a white child, they're getting $600. Your child getting $100. But those are the many facts. In education, also in medicine.
All right. Emmanuel, what we're going to do right now, we would like to talk to us briefly a little bit about current events, which lead to our major discussion on the continuation of the criminal justice system and the role of the police in our community. When we talk about this, well, the most recent incident was the killing of Sandra Bland in Texas. What do you make from that particular killing in terms of stopping the young lady on the highway for a so-called minor traffic violation, and then she ended up being murdered? What is your analysis and take on the situation?
Well, it's, again, profiling African Americans, the revenue that traffic courts brings in, about 40% of the revenue in most cities are brought in by traffic courts. And, of course, we're over 70% of that money coming in from the traffic courts. This is totally domestic terrorism, again, by the police department is what it is. They target black drivers, 31% more likely, and Hispanic drivers, 23% more likely to be poorer than white drivers. It's just the way it is. The first interaction of putting people in jail between citizen and police. That's the first interaction. And this one happened for decades. The police departments are engaged in campaigns of stopping and frisking people who are walking, mostly poor people and people of color, without calls. Without calls. It's amazing that Ms. Bland got pulled over for a traffic violation that is not even... It's pittance. Not having a turn signal, having a signal not even turning, but just changing lanes. Do this all the time. Everybody does it. Not somebody, but everybody does it. People pull beside you, pull on the other side of you, you don't see no signal. Signals are mainly when you're actually turning, basically. Some people don't even do that. But 95% of people that actually have a turn signal when they actually make it a turn, not changing lanes. Then after the conquest, if you look at what happened with the body camera, everything else, because she knows the law. She's a Prairie View A&M graduate, smart girl. Her parents are smart. Her sister's very smart. You talk very eloquent on television. I was so proud of them. But when you know the law, that's a problem. When you know the law, that's a problem. She knew the law. He abused her. Then put your cigarette out. This is her car. She can smoke in her car. You don't do none of these things. This policeman was over-aggressive. But again, they're profiling. They have to stop so many. It's a quota. They have to stop so many. 80% of the traffic stops are blacks or Latinos. Let's take New York, for instance. 25% are blacks. In New York, 20% are Latinos. Well, they get stopped at 80%. Whites get stopped at 20%. They don't stop them. They don't profile them anything. They only profile you. It's amazing. I take another city, Chicago, do the same thing. Blacks consist of 72%. Of the stops in Chicago, and a population-wide, I think about 30%. It is big money. It is huge money, and they're not going to stop it. Then I'll give you reasons why they're not going to stop it later on the show, as we do our series on why our prisons are full of black, brown, and poor people. As I give you some statistics on that, but again. If you look at what they said about Ferguson, Missouri, 40% of the revenue comes from black people being stopped or highly profiled for fines, for tickets. They can't pay the tickets, so they put them in jail. Then you get a record. Oh, you can't get a job, can't get this. So this is systematic. If you look into the police department investigators and investigatory stops, you'll get the numbers I'm giving you. Again, they provoke you, probing questions, conduct searches they do for you. The race of the driver, is a clear indicator of why you being stopped. 25 years or younger, you're stopped 30% of the time versus 10% of whites. You'll stop three times as much time if you're 25 years old or younger with an automobile. Black women are stopped at about 12%. White women are stopped about 3%. It's just a fact. It's just a fact of life being a black person in America.
Now, I was going to ask you in terms of when we're looking at this concept of policing in the community and the role of the police, there is a narrative where the police is the friend to our community. There's a narrative where the police have the most dangerous job in the country. There is a narrative that really it's not that much killing among the police when it comes to people of color. Based upon your research, what fact findings have you found out that will paint a different story of this reality?
Well, the reality is the police job is the 41st job of being dangerous. That means you got 40 more jobs more dangerous than the police job. That tells you right there that someone's telling a joke. They make this narrative out because they want to continue what they're doing. They have to do this because of the revenue. Tickets are the money makers for towns. Traffic tickets are big business. A lot of them don't go to jail for the traffic tickets. But poor people are hit the worst because they can't, through this ticket system. It's a system. And it targets black people. Again, Ferguson, they receive more than 40% for the city revenue for traffic tickets. So these guys can have a nice retirement in Florida, Arizona's, the Californias. Who are they? Over 90% white that have these jobs because the benefits are fantastic. Why do we have a 90% or more an African-American town of 70%, 60%, 80%? Why the city council? Why the school board? Why are all these people white in your town and own everything? This is the way this system works. This is capitalism at its worst. And they have to enforce what they have, what they stole. When you steal something, you got to find a way to enforce it. That's what they do. The police department is the enforcer. It's just what it is. And again, the police department is engaged and they're trained in campaigns of stopping and frisking people, and mostly poor people and people of color without cause. This is where they train. They're not training anything else. You can see what has happened to the people who have been killed in Baltimore, in Chicago, in L.A., in Texas, state of Texas. This is what's going on. The percentages don't lie. Go to the jail system and look and tell them to come out and get it so you can see them visibly. How can you be 12% of the population and be 66% of who's in there? It doesn't pan out. But the narrative they have out there is a lie. There's no facts to it. You got to protect what you done stole. This is what they do. They protect what they done stole. They make sure that this happens. One of the most safest jobs in the country is police. They make and provoke themselves into situations. I have facts to prove that. I'll do it in my next segment. I'll give you exactly what goes on with the police department. This is a systematic, incriminating system that is totally unfair and need to be dismantled. Need to be fully investigated by the DOJ. They know what they're doing. It's all systematically done.
All right, Emmanuel, we're going to stop for a second. We have some callers on the line. We're waiting. This is Missing Pages of History. We are talking about if you got some black facts you want to share with us or talking about this whole question of the criminal justice system, particularly the role of the police in the narrative that has been painted, as they've been a friend to communities of color, less likely to assassinate people in these various communities, etc. We'd like to have your views and comments. We'd call your last three numbers. Call us 3330. Welcome to Missing Pages of History. Call us 3330. Welcome, Missing Pages of History. Your question or comment, please.
Yeah, I'd like to just make a comment in regards to black facts. I know that Brother Emmanuel was talking about this syphilis experiment, and I just want to add to that with more black facts. It was recently within the last decade that residents of North Carolina received compensation for eugenics experiments performed over them for several decades. It was very interesting considering the impact of the experiments. What they got paid as far as compensation goes was mere pennies, so that was very interesting.
Okay, Emmanuel, can I just respond to this statement from the caller about compensation and eugenics in North Carolina taking place?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, a lot of things happen in North Carolina and South Carolina, but back to the, you asked a question about the police, about the being the 41st most dangerous job in occupation-wise. Just to give you a couple of facts. Unofficially, I got to use unofficially, American police have killed more than all the first world nations' police departments combined. I'm going to repeat that. Unofficially, American police kill more than all the first world nations' police departments combined. We kill a person, police does. Every 8 hours, they kill a person. I just took a study for 1 month and 15 days. We had killed 136 people. Well, to contrast that, let's take United Kingdom. One person was killed by the police in 2014. Just one. None was killed in 2013. They fired their guns a total of three times in all of 2013 with zero fatalities. Well, let's take another country. Let's take England. Population was about 50 million, by contrast. 4 years, 4 years, 2010 to 2014, only had four fatal police shootings in England. Four. And we kill every 8 hours. Let's take another country, the largest country in the world, China. Population, what, 4.5 times the American population, with 1.4 billion people? 2014, they killed 12 people by the police department. 12! 1.4 billion people now. Let's take a city, New Mexico, where Latinos are, whites, blacks, whatever. Let's take that population. Albuquerque, New Mexico, has 1% of the population of England, which is, what's that, 50 million, so you're talking about 5 million people, basically. They had 26 fatal shootings. 26 in 4 years. I just took a small, I'm not talking about Chicago, New York, New York, all these other places. I'm just talking about Albuquerque, New Mexico. Compared to 4 years in England with 50 million people. Kill 12 people. Let's take another country. When I said unofficially, we have killed police, you know, so many people every 8 hours, we kill one. But I'm taking unofficially what I said earlier about the first world. What we've done, basically, is it doesn't stop there. Let's take Germany. Let's take the year 2013. They kill nobody. Kill no one. They kill no one. Let's take another country, way out there remote, Iceland. They have killed one person since they've been existing, a police department existing. They kill one. Entire history. Just kill one. That's just to show you. But to give you something on something else real quick, on the police department, again, the job being, you know, 41st most dangerous job, police had 14 deaths. I did some little research. A single police officer has been killed by a suspect. No, so far this year, none. Okay? The line of duty, 14 deaths. Automobile accident was 5, chasing somebody. Heart attack was 4. Struck by a vehicle was 2. Vehicle pursuit was 1. Illness was 1. Gunfire accidental. Another cop killed, he shot another cop because it was, you know, over some drugs. So they do it to themselves. So FBI report, Americans are less valid than ever. It's the police who have been increasingly violent. They're the one that are violent. And we see with body cameras as we see people taking with their phone cameras. This is what's going on.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there, Emmanuel. We'd like to give our listening audience a chance to add to the discussion. We can go to caller 9289. Caller, welcome to Mr. Page of History. What black facts or what contribution would you like to make to the discussion today on the police and the community of color?
Okay, the only thing that ever can just put out there and to give people something to think about is with the city of Richmond, they're starting a program where they want volunteers to come in. They greet individuals coming into the city, giving the history of Richmond, Virginia, and other things that are going on in the communities and different things like this. But the only thing for individuals that may will consider putting in an application, they have to end up going to www.surveymonkey.com. And my only comment is, why would they name the survey Survey Monkey? This is just something to give people to think about, and this is the kind of stuff that that puts us in a negative light, because we're not monkeys, so why would you even want to use that if you're asking for people to volunteer? That's all I had to say. Just something to think about.
Cause of your response, I know you have a African or a black male in Richmond. Maybe you should ask him that question. Why is it that they allow such terminology to be used for a survey to represent the city of Richmond? But we thank you for that contribution, caller. We'll go to one more caller. We have caller 4298. Caller 4298, welcome to Missing Pages of History. Your question or comment, please. Caller 4298.
Yes. This is good to be on your show. I was listening, and I'm somewhat familiar with the show a little bit. And anyway, I just want to read something that takes, give me 90 seconds. All right, check out the real situation. Nation fights against nation. The concept of nationalism and patriotism is within the mind of the individual. The power to define is the power to rule. Thus, quote, separate but equal, unquote, means there is the interest of the, quote, black nation, which is different from the interest of the, quote, white nation. This is nothing but chauvinism and racism. True, there is such thing as a nation. I maintain that it is a historically constituted people on a definite land. To illustrate my point, quote, Woodstock Nation, which came together for 3 days of peace and music. This is not a historically constituted people. Rather, people who came together with a common interest, cultural workers. Israel is held together by an idea of nationhood and not the social reality of nationhood. The political representatives of any movement or party must be prepared to legitimize their rule via electoral politics. First, you must have the hearts and minds of the people.
Okay.
Anyway, that's all I got to say. I just thank you for your time.
Hey, caller, we thank you for your contribution. I will go back to Emmanuel. Emmanuel, you heard some of the response. Some of the callers, anything you have to respond to as relates to the city, have an official email communication tool where they're telling people to go on some kind of monkey site. Just a connotation of the word monkey and dealing with an African community in the city of Richmond with an African or black male. What do you make of that kind of language and those kind of images they still want to portray when it comes to people of color?
Well, again, you know, this is the concept that got us in, that you're subhuman. And they're making sure that I don't know what they're doing. So, again, subhuman is the way they state us. That is the image. Again, we don't talk back. We don't respond like we should. We put skirts on everything we do, put a little hem on it. We got to stop putting hems on things. That's our problem. They don't put hems on our president. They don't put hems. They just come out straight whether they tell a lie or not. So this is what they are. They lie like they breathe. They breathe just like they lie. It's the same thing. But like again, you know, you have to deal with that. Sometimes you can't turn the other cheek. You have to do unto others having to do unto you. You have to do the same. And like I said again, there are things we need to do to combat and dismantle racism, the images and everything. They want to keep the images up. They want to keep statutes up. They want to see, make sure. And they don't mind doing it. Well, well, well. What are we going to do about that? We have to stop doing certain things, spending our money, boycotting, divesting, sanctioned corporations that feed on our prison system, that feed on us as a people. We need to stop it. Doing certain, by least as possible. Hit them in the, they don't understand nothing else. All they understand, the only language they understand is money, profit. They don't understand anything else. That's their only language that involves corporations and know how to speak. We have to speak in the same language they understand. That's why we're where we are today. We don't speak in the same language. They make the blueprint for it. We don't follow the blueprint. It's not going to happen the way we want it to happen. It's not going to happen through documentaries. It's not going to happen through... It doesn't happen that way. Not going to happen the mass protest. It doesn't happen that way. They only know the pocketbook. They don't know nothing else. All attempts to reform mass incarceration through the traditional mechanism, it doesn't work. Through elected politics, doesn't work. The courts, I even said the state, federal legislature, they're useless. We have to understand that. Corporations own everything, from the police department on down. The bail bond business is a $15 billion business. There are 15,000 bail bonds. They're not going to stop that. I want to say a few things about the public defenders. That's where we go. We get a public defender. We're poor. We don't have anything. And the poor people, they have to rely on public defenders. Well, who are they? Okay. Everybody, you have to know the law. The young lady, Sandra Bland, knew the law. When your black person knows the law, they get upset. Well, let them get upset. We got to get schooled on the law. Every classroom, every church should school our young people on the law. Everyone is entitled to a lawyer. Everyone. But reality is a lot different. Even facing a misdemeanor charge, they never see a lawyer at all. Don't you see no difference? You don't vote to know anything. When you do, they try to squash it.
Okay, Manuel, we're going to have to stop you, Manuel. We ran out of time, got about 3 minutes. What I would like for you to do for our listening audience is two things. Number one, just give us maybe a 90-second summation on some of the key points you shared with our listening audience earlier, and also speak just a little bit about the need to support our website.
Okay. Well,
in summation,
I'm going to say a few things about our society. Well, my statement is this. Today, a criminal record serves as both a direct cause and consequence of poverty. I'm going to repeat that. Today, a criminal record serves as both a direct cause and a consequence of poverty. This is where they get our people from. We spend $80 billion on big business for corrections every year. But again, if you don't know the law, this is a system that is high cost. And again, the private correction centers, they moving into the probation department now. They moving there now to take that over. So they get fees and this and that. you can have a $200 fine, but now you can't pay it all. So you're going to say, I'll pay $50 and maybe $10 a week or $10 a month. Well, they're going to, when you finish, you're going to pay about $1,000. They've taken over everything that is criminalized because you're involved, and we can make all these concessions. And the federal government is trying to get out of it a little bit because it's very expensive. $80 billion is a lot of money.
So what you're saying, Chelsea, man, your economic slavery is on the rise.
It's on the rise. Every way they can in the criminal deficit. That's your biggest system out there that can get the most money. That can get the most money from you. But again, see, the current system, the current criminal system, has a dozens of moving parts. From the legislators who create the laws, to the police who enforce them, to the courts that apply them, to the jails and prisons that house the people that are caught up into this system, to the public and the business community who decides who to hire, to all of us who either do something or turn our heads away. Understand, who are these people? They're your brothers. They're your sisters, they're your cousins, they're your friends, they're your co-workers. These are who these people are. But the problem is this.
Emmanuel?
Yes.
Can we give you 1 minute? I only have 1 minute left. Quickly, please, talk a little bit. You need to support the website.
And everyone who goes to the website, please check it out. Please respond to it. I'm not sure. I think there's a questionnaire section on there, but again, please respond in the way you possibly can, through email, through correspondence, through a telephone call to our main office. But we need you to respond. Questions, things we can bring on the radio station to you, things I would like to respond to, and the things I like to evaluate and also do research on to get the facts. Because 90% of what goes on are not factual. Only 10%. I'm going to give you that 10%.
And on that note, to our listening audience, we'd like to thank you for allowing us to come to your home this evening. This is Mr. Page of History. You can view our programs on a bi-weekly basis. Our next program will be August the 8th. Our official time will be 1 p.m. Write that down. August the 8th at 1 p.m. Also, on September the 16th, we'll be lunching for this year. We have a live weekly talk show on Comcast, Channel 95. In Richmond, Virginia. You can stay tuned for that. And more importantly, as we announced earlier at the beginning of the program, we have just launched our official website for Missing Page of History. Please check it out by going to www.mphinc.org. If you'd like to contact us through phone, you can reach us at 804-726-3217. We'd love to hear your feedback, as well as, more importantly, we would like to be economic independent. And the way to do that is to have the support to your community. And therefore, we all ask for your support. So when you go to your website, make sure you hit that donate button. We will greatly appreciate it. Until next time, we thank you. We'll see you on 8th of August at 1 p.m. And remember that this has been Missing Pages of History. We'll see you on the 8th.